Ego Death Mystery Show with Cybermonk. You're on the leading edge of altered state theory. March 14, 2023. EgoDeath.com. EgoDeathTheory.wordpress.com. I just solved F134. Row 2 right, the eyes, applying the eye tracking, looking lines. And I always thought that the characters in Row 2 right were strained, unnatural looking directions. They all seem to be looking in random, weird directions. They all seem awkward. And I zoomed in and applied my F-177 perspective of tracing the looking lines under the realization now that you can reliably simply see. You do need to zoom into the high resolution, full resolution. You zoom into the full resolution all the way and then determinately track and identify exactly what is each person looking at. And when you do that, we have four and a half characters, because Funnel Hat has two pairs of eyes. So we have five pairs of eyes. What are the five pairs of eyes looking at? And when you see what the five pairs of eyes are looking at, when you inventory that and look at that perspective, which I have never done before, I always looked at the shape of their legs, yes. I looked sometimes at the shape of their configuration of their hands, yes, but I never tracked their eyes. I failed to inventory the eyes. And now it's becoming clear that I need to, you're not done, I'm not done. I was wrong, this is an errata. I was wrong to say that you need to inventory their legs and inventory their hands and inventory their feet, inventory their hands. And I said inventory the lifted garments. I toyed with inventorying the mushroom hems, but there's too many. But I neglected to say, you need to inventory their eyes. What are they looking at? I need the slave, grad, student, slave to report what is each pair of eyes looking at. And when you do that, the story becomes clear. The story reveals itself to you. Why are they concerned about him, worried about the fool, receiving French fries? Now it's clear it became, and part of the outcome of this is that I just proved what's in the bin. And the lock bin, by the way, matches the other lock bin. The bins of distributing and the bags, we now know what's in the bags. We now know what's in the locker bin. We can prove it's mushrooms. I can prove what's in the blue crater is mushrooms. Is psilocybin. I can prove that what's in their bags is psilocybin. I can prove that what's in the distribution bucket is psilocybin. I can prove that what's in the distribution bin is not grain, but it is mushrooms. I can prove that what's being weighed out in the balance in F-177, I can prove that that's psilocybin, not French fries, not grain. When you recognize and read it all meaning mushrooms, meaning damn you, I'm forcing me to specify, this is idiotic that I have to stoop down because you're gonna try to twist my words and say that I said the word amanita just then. And so you're gonna force me to jump through your stupid hoops now. You're gonna force me to specify psilocybin. I resent that. I resent the way that I have to avoid using the word mushrooms, and you're going to force me to use the word psilocybin instead. I'm just going to do a freaking global search and replace in my article. Search and replace. Every time there's the word mushroom, write the word psilocybin. Step one, full text search, search and replace, change mushroom to psilocybin. Done. Ship it. Why would you do such a crazy thing as that? You force me to. This moronic, absolute, rigid, welded, firm commitment to pushing Amanita to the exclusion of everything else. The Amanita primacy fallacy forces my hand. I can't use the word mushroom because you guys have redefined the word mushroom is an exact synonym of Amanita in your hands. Thanks, good job there. Just like Hanegraaff now makes it so you can't use the word entheogen, because now I have to go, wait, Hanegraaff, here you wrote the word entheogen. Now I'm confused because I don't know. I have no idea what you're referring to. You could be referring to car engines, because it's possible to claim the car engine produces, can, could, might, and may produce entheogenic effects. So therefore, haven't you heard about that weird cult that uses car engines as an entheogen? So now, Hanegraaff, when you say entheogens, I have no idea what you mean. You could mean literally anything. So I have to ask, but my point here was especially, I have to ask, do you mean non-drug entheogens? Do you mean your Hanegraaff brand trademark entheogens in the wide sense? Entheogens in the broad sense? Entheogens in the wide sense? Or entheogens in the narrow sense? What kind of a foolishness are you going to force us all to do, Hanegraaff? Did you think this through? When you redefined, broaden your own private little private language, private redefinition, thank God no one else is going to buy into this worst idea of any academic ever, Hanegraaff? Entheogens in the wide sense, meaning non-drug entheogens. Hanegraaff is proposing, and I'm going to hold him to this, I'm going to make a strong assertion. Feel free to push back on me. I challenge you, I dare you to push back on me. I'm going to say, Hanegraaff proposes non-drug psychedelics. And we had, but funny thing is that we had Eric Davis literally telling him, you can do that, that's a great idea, your non-drug entheogens, but don't even think of trying non-drug psychedelics though. Eric Davis, what are you going to do to prevent Hanegraaff from fabricating his phony, dragging down psychedelics to the level of anything? What are you going to do to protect your word psychedelics from Hanegraaff? Because they come along and say, well, etymologically speaking, technically, actually, the real meaning of the word psychedelic is non-drug psychedelics are included as well. We're going to lift up non-drug psychedelics to the lofty level of psychedelics by cheapening the word, but all you do is you drag down, you've just replaced, it's a bait and switch, you've just done reductionism from, and the key main kind of reductionism, the king of all reductionism is the reductionism, this is the very paradigm of reductionism, is reductionism from the psilocybin altered state, specifically, to the ordinary state of consciousness. This is when you take psilocybin mental effects and treat them and discuss and explain them as if ordinary state, that is the very paradigm of reductionism. It is not about mind reductionism of mind to brain. Rather, it's a reductionism from the cognitive altered state, from psilocybin, to the cognitive neuroscience of the ordinary state. That's the paradigm, the very paradigm, ultimate, great, best model of what reductionism is about, is when you reduce the psilocybin-altered state effects to neurobrain science. That's the paradigm of what reductionism is all about. How did I go about it? Frankly, I remember the sequence was, I wanted a portrait of the dumb guy to mock Thomas Hatzis in the context of the bottom of my page, this about that Hancock said, recounted on the Psychedelics Today podcast today, March 14, 2023, that in 2007, Hancock asked, well, he talked to one famous mycologist, unnamed here in the podcast, who said no, there was no psilocybin in Europe before 1976. And so in 2007, Hancock asked Stamets that, and Stamets said, what I was wishing that Stamets should have written clearly in his 1996 book, that such an idea is preposterous and impossible, complete BS. How could there possibly be psilocybin in the Americas and not in Europe? Says Paul Stamets, exactly reaching my same conclusions, me battling against trying to interrogate and shake him by the neck, shake Paul Stamets of 1996, his book, Psilocybin Mushrooms of the World. I'm shaking Paul Stamets by the neck saying, spit it out. What the hell is your position? I can't tell. 3 times I've scoured and scoured his book, and I've ended up in the situation where I am having to rewrite his book to produce the missing section by derivation, by implication, trying to derive what his section would have been if he had had the decent half-intelligent sense to have a section with a genuine, put some muscle into it, coverage, act like you give a S, Stamets, instead of accidental burping of half sentences here and there randomly. We need a clear driving narrative here, a true section shine the spotlight. This is a complaint. See, this is what the spotlight idea is all about. We have to have the spotlight idea. Because Paul Stamets never aims the spotlight. It's frustrating, like watching a music recording of a rock concert and the lame, dumb, stupid cameraman seems to have no conception of what music is. He's just lulling around. The camera goes this way and the camera zooms in on the singer's nose. And no sense of what's going on musically. And it's frustrated. It's frustrated to watch videos of bands when the cameraman seems to have zero clue of the nature of music. There is no intelligence at all of aiming the camera. And that's what I get. Complaint about Paul Stamets' book, 1996, book Psilocybin Mushrooms of the World. It's a frustrating book because he never aims the damn spotlight at the topic that I want him to aim the spotlight at. Sure, you can catch little side glimpses by accident. Who's operating this camera? Paul Stamets, the inept cameraman, aims diligently at the Americas and diligently aims the spotlight. And this is what frustrates me most of all, when Guzman's article in John Rush's edited book aims the spot in the chapter called Psilocybin in around the world, in all the countries of the world. So here you have Guzman aiming the spotlight, and so he aims it for 5 minutes at Amanita. He aims it for 5 minutes at ergot. And this is in the chapter titled Psilocybin in All Countries. It's really frustrating. I came to this concert to see on the stage the main act, Psilocybin. Shine a damn spotlight on Psilocybin. And you have this idiot cameraman aiming the camera is locked, frozen, locked on to Amanita and locked on to ergot. What are you even doing, even mentioning ergot? It's not a mushroom. We're in the psilocybin chapter in the psilocybin book. Or in Guzman's case, it's not limited, but the chapter in Guzman's chapter is titled a psilocybin. Seems to me that he spends all the word count, he burns it up all on ergot, burns it up all on Amanita in the psilocybin chapter. It's the same effect of as you have an idiot running the spotlight. Stop putting the spotlight on Allegro. Stop putting the spotlight on Amanita. Stop putting the spotlight on ergot. Stop putting the spotlight on Kaikion. Stop putting the spotlight on Eleusis, Kaikion, ergot. Aim the damn spot. Make an effort to aim the spotlight at psilocybin in Europe and England and Mediterranean. I don't see any effort. It seems like the spotlight control light man seems determined to Photoshop out, trying to Photoshop it out so you can only catch indirect glimpses of psilocybin. You could say, well, look here, Paul Stamets wrote an indirect glimpse of a half sentence over here by accident. He let psilocybin peek through a little bit in Europe by accident. Why does Stamets never aim the full flood of the spotlight? Big section titled All of Our Expectations and Effortful, Vigorous Investigations to Find What We Know Must Be There. A vigorous tradition of Cubensis and Liberty Cap and Paniolus in Europe and England and Mediterranean. Let's go do it. Let's tackle this topic. Let's do a roll up our sleeves and do a full investigation, a full discussion. And even if an impossibility that you don't find any, even then, we need to have a full, loud, vigorous, put some muscle into it, discussion. Aim that spotlight on that topic at length. And that's the opposite of what Stamets gives us. And then he wonders why people are all spreading that some other famous unnamed mycologist is claiming no psilocybin in Europe before 1976. And now all the lecher hatses of the world latch on to that falsehood spewing mycologist, whoever it is. But I'm blaming Stamets. Where was your section asserting as much? Why did you wait for it to get all out of control, spreading this folk myth of no psilocybin in Europe? Why did you permit that to even happen? I would dock 2 stars from his book for failing to aim the spotlight so as to prevent this bunk folk narrative from spreading. His book failed to do that. So it was in that page about that Today's Hancock interview on Psychedelics Today podcast, and I was going in there to Mock Hatzis to go make a screen capture of the dumb guy I remembered from memory. Well, that's kind of an understatement. I know this picture inside now, but I went to get a screenshot of the dumb guy portrait, and so I zoomed in to make that screenshot, and when I zoomed in, I of course applied my latest power of doing the looking lines. What are they looking at? And as soon as I started taking that perspective, boom, and another boom, and another boom, and oh, he's actually must be looking at God. Can I prove he's looking at God? Yes, I just proved he's looking at God. And then what about the guy behind him? What's he, could he possibly be? This is a long shot, unlikely, this is improbability. I'm probably going crazy. But couldn't he maybe, it seems like he could very well be looking at the wrong hands. Indeed, he is looking at the wrong hands, it turns out. And then what's the red guy looking at then? Because he's always been looking in this weird random direction. Kind of looking at the funnel hat guy, kind of not. All kind of wonky, but I hadn't zoomed in and specifically identified, prove what they are and are not. Prove that they're looking at something specific and then prove what that is. And can you do that? Well, yes, it just so happens that that's precisely what the artist precisely exactly did, was to aim their eyes skillfully at specific targets, which had never occurred to me. I always thought they were looking in random, weird directions, because I thought it was a clumsy, inept artist. I thought, this is clumsy, unskilled art, and so they're in these awkward positions, looking in awkward, random directions. That was my take. It didn't occur to me, given that this expert artist is able to portray exactly what he wants to portray, therefore every angle, every contour and contortion of the bodies and strange angles of their face and eyes and eyebrow, it's all meaningful. It is all, you have to assume that it is all meaningful. Every angle, every gesture, every arrangement of their features, it's all deliberate. It is all packed with meaning. None of it is random, sloppy, inept. And you are doomed if you approach this art thinking that they're inept artists, like Panofsky would have you. The most influential art historian, Panofsky, would have you approach these as clumsy, inept art with random postures and awkward, unskilled, meaningless postures, according to Panofsky. And it turns out all of that is the exact opposite of the truth. The freeform diagrammatic nature of this genre of branching mushrooms, mushroom trees, is precisely what frees up the artist. They are freed from naturalism to exactly focus on packing it filled with meaning, the most profound, lofty meaning. So that's the story of how I discovered. Then I thought, he's looking at God's hands, and then I realized, well, then I started thinking, so tell me again, because I have all these white boxes around all the hands in the image, tell me again, what's the meaning? And I was kind of genuinely scratching my head over this earlier today. What's the meaning? Why all this left hand over? Why the left? I genuinely didn't understand, or I had maybe had glimmers and partial solutions of this before. So that's how it goes. It's, you get partial solutions, you maybe forget them sometimes, you get learn a certain perspective, trying to combine it with another perspective a year later, and then remember, oh yeah, I was looking at it from this angle. And I had gotten to the point where today I was saying, I have literally forgotten why it would be considered a good thing to have the left hand higher than the right hand. And then it occurred to me, well, we know crystal clear for a comparison point of reference that it's a good thing to have your right foot down on the ground and your left foot not on the ground. So that means you're relying 100% on the eternalism model. And so left hand and right hand matches that same. It's not the inverse of that. It's the same. It's right down on the ground is good and left foot lifted up is good. And that exactly matches the pattern we see, that left hand up is good, right hand relatively down is good. And so that clearly is referring to, this is an indirect chain of reference, the left hand being higher than the right is referring to the feet, so the left foot being higher than the right, which then further refers to relying on eternalism thinking rather than possibilism thinking. So therefore, through that chain of reference, we see that what God is signaling is, in midway there, is that God is signaling that God's right foot is implicitly down on the ground, and God's left foot is implicitly not on the ground, but lifted up, so that God is relying on and using eternalism thinking, and therefore is commanding you to be in line and with God and coherent, viable, that you too must be like God and have your left hand higher than your right hand, which is to say, when God is pointing up with one hand and down with the other, God is pointing up with the left hand, lift that, and pointing down with the right hand, what would that mean? That would mean rely on your right leg down on the ground, and don't rely on your left leg lifted up above the ground. That would be the meaning if I were to point with the left hand up. Let me try this as well. If I have one hand and I put a pair of fingers pointing up, that could mean lift up your possibilism thinking, your left hand, left limb thinking, which is branching thinking, lift it up. So although I'm pointing up, actually the more important thing is the two fingers pointing down, which are saying, put your right foot down, left foot floating up, right foot down on the ground. So that's one reading of the gesture. If I put a pair of fingers down pointing and a pair of fingers up pointing, it's a contradiction of expectations. It contradicts expectations because you would think that the upward pointing fingers are good, but actually the upward pointing fingers, insofar as they represent the left foot, are actually saying lift up the left foot, do not rely. It's the downward pointing fingers are the main ones, actually. The main fingers, the positive fingers, are actually the downward pointing fingers. We're saying down of the right limb is good. Up with the left wrong limb, the bad limb, is good. Put the bad limb up. Lift the bad limb up. Put the good limb down. And that is an important interpretation of this gesture. These images, the whole genre of branching message mushroom trees with handedness and non-slash branching is profound, and Edwine especially is profound. Once we establish these rules, that it's very simple. Left foot down means possibilism thinking, and right foot down on the ground means eternalism thinking. And then we can extend the same to the hands and say that the left hand up is equivalent to right foot floating off the ground and having no weight on it, and that the right hand relatively down, because we're not going to have you put your right hand on the ground, you're not going to stand on your right hand, but we can use the hand gestures to map to the foot gestures, which finally map to eternalism thinking versus possibilism thinking. So left hand relatively up and right hand relatively down, we're going to take that to mean right hand relatively down by a little bit, like the guy holding the mushroom bucket, the right hand held down slightly, or the guy on the table with his back of his right hand pressed against the table and the back of his left hand lifted up on the bowl. So we have only a 2-inch difference, but that's the meaning indicated. And interestingly, the girl, the maiden, this is interesting that the maiden, due to perspective, let me check on this.
This is a twister.
So physically, looking at the pictures just directly straight on, her left hand is painted closer to the top of the painting than her right hand is to the top of the painting. Though, if you took a perspective and you could lower yourself down to the height of the table, then interestingly, from that angle perspective, you could say that in terms of pure physics within the scene, within the frame of reference within the scene that's painted, in fact, this is interesting, her right hand from that frame of reference is actually higher than her left. I gotta note that. I noticed the other day, but now I can articulate it. The maiden has kind of arguably, debatably wrong hands, that the artist wants us to debate her hands. Her left hand is higher in that it is close to the top of the painting. So from our kind of naive perspective, looking flat on to the painting, we'd say, if she were just standing there with no table, we would say that her left hand is being held higher than her right. But with respect to the frame of reference within the scene, her right hand is higher up on the bowl rim than her left hand, which is flat on the table. So equine genius brings in the perspective problem too. So what if upside down, what if contradictory perspective, is she following God's rule of God mode thinking? And is her left or right foot touching the ground? Depends on which frame of ref. The frame of reference problem
that Edwine recognized
and demonstrated as being inherent, the frame of reference problem that Edwine recognized and demonstrated as being inherent in the seemingly simple handedness rules. What would rely on right leg mean if you're hanging upside down?
And then what would raise your left hand higher mean?
And I think that he has a reasonable answer in having the guys from the hanging upside down guy's point of view. He's holding his left hand higher than his right, so which continues to mean, let us map
that left hand higher than right hand means left foot higher than right foot, and the reason why we do that mapping is to indicate that we mean to be relying, standing on your right leg. Well, he is doing that, so he understands the meaning of it. You could almost say that if he had the other hand, you could maybe argue, and you could debate. It's debated. It's an interesting debate. Imagine what if he had his other hand closer to the ground instead. But I can see the good sense, so we had the choice. We are supposed to be discussing this choice. Edwine forces us to be the point of this. We need to end up discussing the debate, the great debate over which of his hands should be shown closer to the ground, given that he's upside down. Well, then you have to discuss what is the intended meaning of having the left foot. So having the left hand higher represents,
indirectly, having the left foot higher. And the reason we want you to have is not because there's something magical about having the left foot higher. It means relying on the right foot down, so that you're relying on it. Well, he is relying on his right to hang from the tree. He's relying on his right foot, leg. So that really leaves dangling the question, should he still have his... Given that he's not relying on his right leg by having it down on the ground and by having his left leg up in the air. He's relying on his right leg in a different physical way than that. And so does it still... The question Edwine raises, does it still make sense to say, let us mean that having the left hand raised really means having the left foot raised, which of course really means relying on one mental model or the other by virtue of standing in the right leg. You're relying on the right leg down, left leg up, so we're going to let left hand up represent left leg up, meaning right leg down. So which option does it make sense if he's hanging upside down and hanging by his right leg? Does it still make, Edwine's question is, does it still make sense to have that mapping that holding his left hand up relative to him being upside down, does that still make sense to represent relying on your right leg now that you're doing so by hanging and having your other leg dangling? So again, let's see, from his point of view, in fact, I've got to make a note here. I'd say you have to have an upside down mandatory to do mandatory upside down crop of tree. And he is, because of this, so I just determined, let me see, gosh, twisted. So relative to his frame of reference, his right foot is actually higher than his left foot, relative to his frame of reference. It looks like his left foot is down, though it's floating in the air, and his right foot is in the cloud. Now I got it. So I've added that picture. Now I have to add 177. Make sure I don't have an upside down one there. So we've got to put in the Rams upside down is mandatory. I'm going to put in both the tight crop and the broad crop. If it's bad to have your left foot down and we've agreed to adopt an upside down frame of reference so that the upside down ram is pressing the leg against the ceiling, is that to be considered? Look, this ram is doing the error of standing on right leg. How can you say that the ram is in error standing on his left leg when he's in fact upside down with the left leg pressed against the ceiling? Well, then you're going to argue that it's a frame of reference should be upside down. And so from the upside down frame of reference, the ram is standing on left foot. Well, but what would, okay, then, but what if we then have another ram that's, this foot is not touching, but has both feet floating? What are you going to do about that, huh? You guys got a big problem. The famous words of Hatzis. You guys got a big problem because I made up some dumb argument. Now you guys got a big problem because my dumb argument and my dumb attribution to you claiming of what it is that you're asserting, which isn't even what you're necessarily asserting. I'm just going to assign to you my own projected of what I imagine and assume that you're holding, which isn't even necessarily remotely what your position that you're holding actually is, but I'm going to declare that you have a big problem in your assertion that you're asserting. I'm not going to bother find out what it is that you're asserting. I'm going to simply attribute to you and simply assume and take it as a granted fact of what it is you're asserting, and then I'm going to come along and tell you, you guys got a big problem about what you guys are asserting, which happens to be not even light years near to what I'm actually asserting. So his claim that just for you to claim that you guys got a big problem, no, actually you got a big problem in completely not even able to understand what we're even debating here. You have to discuss all these points. You're not done. You haven't completed, and you haven't gotten 100% grade A+. You have not gotten a grade of 100% until you've discussed these problems. Given that he's not relying on his foot, but is relying on his knees, you gotta be discussing his knees. And I have failed to draw white boxes around his knees. And so from the knee point of view, relative to his frame of reference, the feet are not looking good because relative to his frame of reference, his right foot is higher than his left foot. And relative to his frame of reference, though his knees, relative to his frame of reference, his knees fit the pattern, don't they? Because although his, oh my God, I fucking get it. The knees, his hands establish that we'll go with his frame on ref, but oh no's, if we do that, alas, his feet violate that. So, seizure disaster, right? But wait, how he hangs is by his knees, not feet. See, his left knee is lifted higher than right from his POV, which we committed to, so he conforms to God's rule, God mode thinking. So if God mode thinking requires stand foot and we say hand height represents that, then what if hang upside down by knees, not feet, which knee should be higher? But from his frame of reference, I will say this, from his frame FOR, we have left hand higher than right, and we have left foot lower than right, and we have but that is not established as relevant. Artist has remapped
to say, instead of let hand height represent foot height, let us remap violating foot height, mapping for right side up people, and break that mapping, and instead do mapping to knee height. Rely on the right knee, must lie on right knee, and have left knee raised, which will we do conform to here. So he deliberately, let's see now, from the right, so from the right, we're going to have to attach the words to do, so I'm going to say to do, add L and R, hands and feet. When considered right side up, his feet fit wool, that his right is closer to ground. When considered upside down frame of reference, his feet violate law, but his knees, which he is instead using, fit the law. So his left knee higher than right knee, his frame of reference, but left foot lower. So his left is higher, left knee is higher than right knee, but the left foot is lower than right foot, his R. This explains the awkward, arbitrary knee and foot positions. Let's say again, H, Q, E, D. Victory. Middle. Gonna do a star and on the number one to tie into high harmony.
So I can finally answer. Why in God's name is there a guy hanging upside down by his knee in the tree? By one knee. Because that is the inevitable problem that you raise, whether you're conscious yet of it or not. As soon as you say that the rule of God is you have to stand on your right leg, you have to rely on your right leg, and that we're having a good idea that we're going to let hands represent which foot is down such that you're relying on that foot. So left hand up actually means right hand down, which actually means right foot down, which means relying on your right foot, which means relying on eternalism thinking instead of possibilism thinking. But, so now we've started heading down that path, and where does that path end? That path ends with saying, well, what if you're hanging upside down and not by your, you're not gonna somehow hang by your foot, we're not gonna go there. We're gonna naturally have you hang by your knee above the sword so that you don't want to fall down. The idea is you don't want to fall or you die, fall down to your death. Fall down equals die. So if the all-important rule is motifized or metaphorized as you gotta stand on your right foot, what if you're hanging up, you're saying, I am a strict follower of God's law. I rely on eternalism thinking, motifized as I stand on my right leg. I follow God's law. Oh yeah? What if you're hanging upside down in a tree then? It's pretty quickly stands to reason that if you're going to hang by a knee in the tree, you need to rely on your right knee. That's pretty easy to agree upon, not arbitrary. It's pretty clear cut that it's reasonable that you need to be hanging from your right knee. That's pretty self-evident. That's not controversial. All right, given that it's not controversial that you need to hang from your right knee, if you're going to hang from a knee, and we agree that right is good and eternalism thinking, given that right leg, including right knee, oh, I need to add knee. Now I need to add knee. Oh, that's kind of funny. Rely on right foot, right heel, right leg, right hip, right knee. So we've agreed to continue God's rule relative to your upside down point of reference. We've
agreed after some debate that you'll, relative to your point of reference, continue to have your left hand raised, then which knee would it be? Let me see. If you're hanging upside down, is it physically possible to have your, if you're hanging upside down by your right leg, is it physically possible to have your left knee higher? Not really. No, it's not going to work. Gravity's going to pull down. I don't think it's really feasible. I think it would be barely possible, but very unnatural. And so do point that out. Must point out, as Edwine, I guarantee that you cannot have left knee higher while hanging in your frame of reference, when hanging by right. Try it. This justifies hand positions that continue to be left hand must be higher than right, because when you hang by your right knee, your left knee is inevitably higher than right. That is the reason why left hand must be higher, which happens to match right side up reasoning, FOR reasoning, but based now on knee geometry, not based on foot geometry. And negated very strongly, he is coming cloud thinking. Man, geez, just to think of it.
Well, this is not my first time, certainly, considering upside down factors, but it was only today or 5 minutes ago that I created the crop of him upside down and really engaged seriously with not just thinking, you know, really technically you would need to do an exercise. Well, that won't cut it. Saying technically you would need to do an exercise ain't gonna, you have to do the exercise. Edwine says, you're not gonna get off the hook here. I demand a full discussion of why hand height is mapped to foot height. What's the meaning? Don't be magical thinking superstitious here. You have to understand why we say lifting left hand is mapped to lifting left foot. And then, given the reasoning of why we make that mapping, you're gonna have to come up with a different mapping, or you're gonna have to re-reason through. Not necessarily going to end up with the same mapping if you're hanging by your right leg upside down. Then what do you do with the hand height then? You need to argue, and I think you could probably argue that there is a correct answer and that it is not arbitrary. Are you going to have his hand? And I noticed that I did make a note of that 6 months ago or something, that, you know, looking at this picture just naively straight on, his hands are in violation. I noted that his right hand is held higher than his left, and I had a problem. You're going to note this. This solves the problem I noted maybe 6 months ago, that actually his hands are in violation. If I look, I can find where I wrote that his hands are in violation of God's law. I made a phony, I wrote up somewhere a phony explaining away a way that I didn't like, that bugged me. I had to make an exception. And the reason that his hands actually conform to God's law, a more advanced wrong answer is relative to his FOR, his L hand is raised, is higher than right. Wrong answer. We must re-reason from scratch, starting from knee geometry. The true answer, true correct answer for full credit, if you hang by left knee, your right knee dangles higher. So the representative mapped hand height for evil relying on possibles in thinking would be what? Would be right hand higher than left. If you hang by right knee, your left knee dangles higher. So representative mapped hand height for good, or I'd say godly, viable, and evil, I'm going to say non-viable. The mapped hand height for godly, viable, relying in eternals in TTT would be what? Left hand higher than right. That is the true for his left.
Now, later in the day, March 14, 2023, row to right, image F134, the foolish youth on left leg, enlightened youth on right leg, and the sage on no legs. First, you don't understand. Standing on wrong leg, standing on right leg, hanging by right knee. Or you might say, standing on left foot. Our knowledge progresses from understanding, standing on left foot, then standing on right foot, then hanging from right knee. Immediately, as soon as I finished decoding row 1 and started decoding row 2 around November 2020, I right away noticed the floating guy. And I could blame myself, saying I was didn't engage my brain. I can now say in the hindsight retrospect, I can say, sit here, and all too convenient now to sit here and say, as obviously as the earth revolves around the sun, obviously the floating guy is 2 feet off the ground, hearkens, obviously, to the guy hanging in the tree, of course. Could you be any more obvious? I should have come along and said, left foot, yeah, I know what that means, right foot, yeah, I know what that means, floating, oh, that reminds me of the guy in the tree. Why didn't I instantly say, who else in the picture? Who else in the picture? It's obvious, obvious. And some people might see this instantly. And it took me 2 years plus, over 2 years, before it finally occurred to me just now, a few minutes ago, who else in the picture has both feet floating off the ground? And again, I think that a formal analysis, if you would just take the few minutes to do a formal inventory, how many people in this image have both feet floating off the ground? I think that these images pay off when you do a formal analysis. It saves a lot of time. I've done several now. I've always joked about doing a full foot inventory. It's a bit of work. Look how much that would have helped me. If I had done seriously, if November, joking around doing a full foot inventory, if I had actually done a full feet inventory, it probably would have been immediately clear that, oh, of course the guy is floating with his feet off the ground. He's looking, as far as I can determine, my current opinion, my current gut feeling ESP intuition of what he's looking at. Right now, I've convinced myself that his eyesight, his vision is aimed at the knees and feet of the red guy in the tree, which makes every bit of sense. We have an elegant closure there. You'd say, do you think he's looking at God? Well, let's see. Are God's feet shown floating? Is his eyes angled up higher to look at God, God's hands, this guy whose feet are floating off the ground? Or is he more likely looking at the knees, which I think that my latest revised opinion is that he's not looking up steeply enough to look at God's hands, but that he's more looking exactly at the knees and floating legs. I think floating feet. And I think I drew the line
well, it's just shades of detail, but pretty much his 2 feet and his one knee, his right knee, his 2 feet and right knee are exactly in line with each other with his eyesight. And then the left knee is the deviant one that's a little angled down a hair, a tiny bit, a degree. If I draw my line from his eyes to his right foot in God's cloud, that will automatically include his right knee, which is perfect, and his left foot, which is perfect, and only will omit his knee. So I fudged it. I drew the line aiming a little bit below his right foot, so it also is a little below his right knee, and it's also a little below his left foot, but it's a little closer to his left knee. Any of that is viable. And again, my opinion is I don't currently feel, I'm biased just because the floating feet of the funnel hat guy matches the floating feet of the upside down guy. And so now I'm looking at it and I look at the angle of his eyesight, and now it doesn't look like he's looking at God. I don't think he's looking at the sword either. He could be possibly looking at the sword. I think he's looking above the sword at the floating feet. This makes sense. It makes sense, especially, I think I'm convincing myself now that despite leaving out the left knee, there's a strong argument for drawing the line aiming at his right foot, which will automatically exactly catch his right knee and his left foot, and that makes sense because his feet are floating. So he would have floating feet looking at the floating feet and ignore the angling down a hair to his left knee. That way you have a firm tie-in, a definite, instead of, right now my line is really vague. It's sort of here, sort of there. Pick a target. You need to commit to a target. What target makes sense? The target that makes sense is his left foot, which magically gets with it. It's both of his feet. Have him look at both of the feet because both of his feet are floating. That totally makes sense. What about the poor left knee that's left out? That's too complex. It's not elegant. You drop in the elegance. So let me check on my angle that I drew. Well, it does actually, the line that I drew does touch his heel at least, though it doesn't aim quite up high enough. You know, I think I want to draw that line to cross through God's hand. It would go through God's hand and pretty much touch the toe of the hanging guy's right foot. If I angle that white line up a bit, instead of its current sort of indeterminate, why are you aiming specifically at his heel? So you're hitting his right heel, but you're missing his left foot, and you're missing his left knee. So it's indeterminate. If you angle up a little bit, you would pass through God's right hand and securely hit all three targets, right foot, right knee, and left foot. You could keep the white box around all of that.
Ego Death Mystery Show with Cybermonk. You're on the leading edge of altered state theory. March 14, 2023. EgoDeath.com. EgoDeathTheory.wordpress.com.